You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
New IFC Films horror movie Kindred, get it, because it's like a pun, because it's kindred, like related to, but dread, like, oh, it's dread, it's a horror, you know what, I'll just stop right there. It's directed by first comer Joe Marcantonio, also written by him and Jason McColgan. What we've got here is, it's very classy, it's shot incredibly well, it's populated with incredibly good actors who are just acting their ass off, there's classical music playing, and not a lot happens. And that's Kindred for you. I've got some other people here to talk with me about it. First, I've got Bob Garza. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
I've got LaWayne White.
Hey, how's it going?
And I've got Ray Anderson.
Hello.
I didn't really know for sure what I was going to be getting into with this particular one. I'd seen the trailer, and it was obvious from the beginning that, oh, okay, so this is doing what horror movies have always done, but are doing more than ever right now, which is dealing with current social issues. And this one in particular seems to be dealing with gaslighting more than anything else. Although, oddly, not really so much from the more typical dudes gaslighting ladies. In this case, it's an older lady gaslighting a younger woman. The story follows a woman who is with a guy and they seem happy. She's black, he's white, which rarely comes into it, but sort of the subtext. They're very happy, except she's not crazy about his family. He's not crazy about his family. They're very wealthy and they live a huge crumbling mansion. They're kind of like, so that's great that you're together, but when are y'all going to just move here back in the house? Like, we're never moving back in the house. So Charlotte, who's played by Tamara Lawrence, is like, your family creeps me out. And he's like, I know. So they decide they're going to move to Australia, as you do. God, you must really hate your husband's family when you're like, oh yeah, let's move to a continent on the other side of the world. But then two things happen. First, she discovers that she is in fact pregnant. Despite taking every precaution, she is pregnant anyway. And everyone is like, there's one other son in the family, but I got at least a hint of possibly him being gay. Could be that. It could be something else. We'll get to that. Everybody's all about male heir, male heir, male heir. Then they get in a car accident. He dies. And this is very early on in the film. And the family's like, don't worry, honey. We're going to take care of you, which she's not totally thrilled about right off the bat. But hey, she doesn't have a lot. She's told that because of legal tangles, the house that they lived in together is actually going to be closed off and she can't live there anymore because it was in his name. And when he wasn't in there, I don't know, it was complicated. Doesn't matter. Point is, gates are locked. She's like, I got nowhere else to stay. I'm obviously going to have this baby now. You can't have an abortion when your husband just died. So she finds herself staying in the big creepy house. She's having nightmares about crows constantly. Man, I know what you mean. I live in Austin and we have grackles, same shit all the time, every night. Like, fucking things outside my window screaming, male heir. Or maybe that's just my mom leaving me text messages. I don't know. And things are getting worse. But that's Kindred, a film about her going, this is not okay. And them going, honey, what's wrong? What do you mean? Everything's totally normal. This is just normal. Everything's normal. She's like, this is not normal.
None of this is normal.
No.
And it's complicated by the fact that her mother suffered from perinatal psychosis and postpartum depression. So everybody's like, well, you know, your mom was sick. And so We need to take care of you, and that's just the hormones and all of them. Like, no, you're all crazy. This was a super uncomfortable movie, and it was creepy in none of the good ways. But a while back, I saw Hulu's version of this. I don't even remember what the name was, but it was a similar premise. You had an African-American woman who, in this case, was literally kidnapped by a white woman in order to raise her baby. And in this, they're more subtle about it. They don't literally chain her to the bed, but they may as well. And that's super uncomfortable. That you have this very white wealthy family that are basically locking up this African woman so that she can have the baby.
Those things are there, and you can't not see them.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like it's discussing that aspect of it, really.
No, it doesn't, which seems weird.
You said it was creepy, and it was creepy in not the good ways. I found it creepy in the good ways, in the sense that I felt uncomfortable and I thought I was supposed to feel uncomfortable. So I'm like, you're doing a good job making me feel uncomfortable, movie. I don't think that when you get to that aspect of it, that they have anything to do with the fact that they're chaining her up because of race. They're chaining her up because this crazy woman wants that baby, period. And she is crazy, yeah, let me tell you.
Played by the great Fiona Shaw, by the way, who's been having a good couple years because of her role in the show Killing Eve, where she plays kind of the boss character.
She's
on there.
Great in Channel Zero Candle Cove.
Yeah.
She's also in Fleabag, I think.
She's been in a ton, ever since, like, what, My Left Foot, I think, was one of her first really big films.
I think
films.
She even had a small part in True Blood. I know she was in the Harry Potter films. I'll talk about the stuff I really liked about the film. As far as Fiona Shaw, she gets a scene where she's relaying to her daughter-in-law or woman that she's holding hostage in her home. She recounts her experience with motherhood, which is harrowing. And we get a really nice slow zoom. I love that stuff. Also later in the film with the music, it's kind of sparsely scored. And then we get these subversions of classical pieces, starting with the scene in a car, which I guess you would call the one action scene in the movie. And I loved it. It slowly starts Bach's number one cello suite, mm-hmm. which is an uplifting Yo-Yo Ma plays it all the time. They use it in the commercials to tell you how great everything is. And they use it over cut audio in probably the rowdiest scene in the movie. And then later we kind of do the same thing with Clair de Lune. I thought that was really cool. Another thing I really liked is that person who doesn't want to be but is trapped in the family estate with the family genre, it necessarily contrives the possible actions that the character can take. The dialogue surrounding that punched above its weight. You usually get a bunch of, I want to leave, and then we cut to the next day. This did do that, but I thought it was handled with a little more care. But I do think that there's some things here that are going on that are either really subdued subtext, or we're just not going to discuss what could possibly be red herrings without going into the end. I waited for a shoe that never dropped in this film. As far as trying to not contrive the ending but keep people guessing, I guess it worked in that, but I did think that it fell a little short.
I kept watching this going, you've seen a horror movie before, I get that, but were you really watching it or just kind of out of the corner of your eye? Because I got the feeling this guy watched a bunch of supernatural horror films and then thought that's just how you film every horror film. Especially all the stuff with the nightmares. It's hit you over the head, metaphors, and it's there to make it more unsettling, but it doesn't feel like it belongs with the whole rest of the film. And that's unfortunate because there's not a lot actually scary going on in this film outside of what you realize is happening, which you know before the husband even dies. You kind of get the gist of it immediately. I mean, the ending just like puts a final capper on what ultimately to me is not a film about being scared. It's a film about being frustrated.
True.
Very.
True. But I think they do leave a tiny little window there for you to say, you know, who's crazy and who's not here. But no matter who was crazy or who was crazier, if you will, you do leave that door shut on something that's very frustrating. And I thought that was okay. I mean, again, it made me feel frustrated, which I think is the point of this. But I think you're right. There are some shortcomings here, but I think a lot of the shortcomings get overridden by the fact that we have these great performances like we talked about with Fiona Shaw. But I mean, Tamara Lawrence, I mean, she kills it. And she's mainly a British stage actor up to this point. She's done a few other British shows, but she's mainly a British stage actor. She's done several things at the National Theater. And she comes into this, and she basically has to carry this along with Fiona Shaw. They knock it out of the park, acting-wise.
They're both terrific. But like I said, this just for me is another one of those IFC films that all the pieces are beautiful, and then they forgot to actually assemble them into a movie that knows what it is.
I think frustration is the word that I would use. I mean, that's clearly a lot of what's going on with the movie. It didn't, in this case at least, didn't enhance my viewing experience. I was frustrated by, to some degree, the pace of the movie, because I'm like, get somewhere. You're giving me these things, and I've seen a ton of stuff like this. So it was like, I know where you're probably going to go. Can we get there? And yeah. I was insanely frustrated with the characters. And a lot of that comes down to the performances of the lead, because a lot of that was coming off of her. I absolutely was getting that, but it also sort of frustrated my watching, because I really wanted to get through this movie. Something about this, it just didn't sink for me for some reason, and I'm not really sure. I mean, I could articulate all the reasons, but I just wanted to get through it, and it felt like everything was getting in my way. And so I absolutely appreciate everything the lead is going through, and I literally share her desire to escape. And I keep getting frustrated along the way with these things that keep happening.
Why do you have to be so Masterpiece Theater about it? Give us a fucking movie.
I don't know. I just, from a technical standpoint, this movie is great. I mean, you've talked about it even in the intro. It looks great. The performances are amazing. The two female leads are fantastic. Robert talked about the music, and the music is used so well. Everything about this hits, and it should work, and it just doesn't.
I do want to talk about the guy who plays the son here, the other son, not the one who dies, because he's barely in the movie. Jack Loudon plays the son, who's low-key crawling up into being a star to take really seriously. Like, he was on Fighting With My Family, which is a great movie that everyone should fucking see, with Florence Pugh, which was about wrestling. Yes. And she was like this wrestling star, and he was the brother who they all thought was going to be the wrestling star instead of her. You're like, oh yeah, that guy in Dunkirk, he's one of the guys in that. I mean, he's one of those people who keeps popping up and stuff in relatively big roles, but you completely forget that you saw him.
I think he was in Caliber.
This is another role where I'm like, wow, he's really good in this low-key part. Okay, I'm like doing everything mom tells me to do, and it's my job to do here, but also I kind of care for this girl, and I want to make sure, I genuinely want to make sure she's comfortable and happy. I'm almost surprised they didn't choose to write him as an idiot, because he's not an idiot, but he's creepy because of his ultimate decision of where his loyalties lie. And even though you can tell that he knows he's not doing the right thing, it never goes over to him feeling like he wouldn't do what his mother wants him to do, but you can tell that he thinks she's not going about it right. I guess we kind of like, I feel like we kind of worked this one to as far as we can get it. We told you everything that's here, because there's nothing wrong with this film. Ultimately, for me, it was just too dry, and I didn't think it had much to offer past what you saw in the first 15 minutes. But let's go to final thoughts and see what Ray had to say.
I am going to come down on the side of, I really liked this film. I know I might be a little more in the minority. I know that you guys kind of find it flat in some places and a little long and things like that. I really liked it. And a big part of that for me is the actors here. I'm a big fan of actors. I'm a big fan of actors doing their job well. And I thought that Fiona Shaw was just, I mean, I do not want to get trapped in a house with her. I do not, under any circumstances at this point. Of course, everyone else that has to carry this does really well. I think that there's some other subtexts here and some other things going on that we are shying away from discussing that actually give this movie a little more depth. And I think we're shying away from them because we don't want to give this away to people. I think that this is atmospheric. I think it's creepy good. It made me feel uncomfortable, and I think that's what it was supposed to do. So in the end, I am going to give this 8.5 out of 10 proper cups of English tea.
Earl Grey, hot. Bob.
I dug it. As a person that spends a lot of time watching horror movies, the giddy part of me obviously wanted this to go somewhere that was never going to be part of this movie. But you see a spooky manor, and grandma says, I bet it's going to be a boy. I'm like, oh, I know what this is. I didn't know what this was. The resonating part of it that Ray's getting to, too, is we're saying frustration, but I think what that frustration comes out of is the ambivalence. And there's a lot of that in this movie, and it's mired in it. And that's kind of the point. Because if we tell you everything we told you in this setup, and then we tell you exactly how it ends, in real life, it's realistic. You know, there's nothing fantastical about how this movie plays out. We're seeing a very stylized version of the story. Of course, like Chris said, it's an IFC movie, so we get lots of cuts of birds that I think are neither here nor there. It's great at setting the mood. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 magpies, and I will join you with that Earl Grey, Ray.
Lloyd!
I really wish I connected better with this movie. Everything else about it works, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it just wasn't the day for me to watch this or what. Performances are great. Cinematography is great. Sound design, the music, all of it should hit, and for some reason it didn't. So for me, this is 2.5 out of 5 isolated estates.
I think this is perfectly acceptable. This is the kind of about the only level of horror film I could see my mom watching. But the more I think about it, and the fact that, like, if you're white in this movie, you literally cannot be trusted. There's this low-key, every white person is part of a giant conspiracy. And every white person in this movie is also rich, for the record, or involved with the seriously wealthy in one way or the other. And I was like, so this is like Get Out if you removed all the supernatural stuff, all the fun out of it, and just tried to make it as realistic as possible. It's Get Out, basically. I was just sitting there wondering, movie, when are you going to show me something that's not just what you already told me exactly this movie is? Like, it's just, here's that premise, and that's all it is, and it's banging your head against a wall with really very little hope and less hope, and then there was no reason to have hope at all, really, and it's just kind of depressing, not scary, and frustrating, not scary, and admirably crafted, but it desperately needed a third act to make it feel like you spent your time valuably watching it. I don't know, not for me, but hey, not everything is for everyone. I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 family corvidae. I was hoping that she'd get rescued by Eric Draven. I thought maybe that's where this is going.
Dude,